How's it going, guys? How are we doing this morning? So, guys, man, what a privilege it is to be here this morning. My name is Matt, and I have the privilege of being one of the eighth grade guys, small group leaders for the Park Cities guys. Shout out to the dream team in the back over there. So, guys, again, it is truly a joy to be here this morning. So part of my story is I got the chance to actually go through Watermark Student Ministry as a 6th through 12th grader. So right there in your seats, I did the exact same thing as you guys and just got to walk through Wake and Shoreline with a group of seven guys. And we got to encourage each other and challenge each other and dig into God's Word. And guys, man, what a privilege it was to do that. And it made my walk with the Lord just so much better to be able to walk through life with guys and leaders that poured into me and invested in me who were always a quick phone call away. And so, man, my life with Christ has been changed forever from being in this room just like you guys are. So I hope you guys are encouraged by the small groups you're in and the leaders. So it is a joy. So before we dig into God's Word, let me pray for us. And then we'll get rolling, all right? So pray with me. Lord, we are just so grateful. We are grateful to be in this room, grateful to just dig into your word this morning. I pray that we would be encouraged and challenged and sharpened by your word. And I pray as we dig into Luke 12, God, that we would remember, Lord, that you are the only one that can satisfy us. And that ultimately, God, the things in this life, they don't matter, but a relationship with you would give us everlasting joy, God. So we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. So we are going to be talking about the parables. We're actually continuing our theme this summer, which is more than a story. We're going through parables and unpacking the why behind the stories of Jesus. So this morning, we're going to be talking about Luke 12 and what it means to satisfy our life in Christ rather than just this world that is filled with stuff. And what do we do and how do we live in a world that's filled with stuff? So to set this story up before we read it, so Jesus is actually in front of this huge crowd of people. It's actually a crowd of thousands of people, and they have all different backgrounds. You have, you know, these poor people that showed up. You have these Pharisees that are looking for every single word that Jesus says to throw them off. And this crowd is really rowdy. So you have this huge crowd, and Jesus uses that and is going to share with them how to find satisfaction in him. So before we jump into there, do we have any board game fans out there?
Yeah.
So we got some board game fans out there. So we're going to do it here live at Wake. I'm going to give y'all a hot take this morning. Are there any Monopoly fans out there?
No.
Yes? No? Well, here's my hot take. Monopoly is the best board game out there, all right? You heard it here first.
It's rich.
All right. This is truly a hot take. So, guys, hear me out. So, Monopoly, for those of you who don't know what Monopoly is, it's this game where you're rolling dice and you're taking this token around the board, and along the way, you're accumulating these properties, you're charging your buddies for rent, you're trying to get as much cash and things as possible. And what's the ultimate goal? You're trying to bankrupt the other players around you so that you're like the king of the Monopoly board. It's a pretty ruthless game, and I love it. So as a kid, I grew up with two sisters, and so I still, guys, don't know what girls do in their free time, but what I did is I would just play Monopoly by myself, so I'm not sure if that makes me a nerd or really cool, but Monopoly was just the greatest game out there, and I loved it. And so, guys, similar to Monopoly, guys, we're going to be talking about how in life, we can go around in life just trying to gather stuff, gather things, and accumulate and build up our wealth. And we're going to read about in Luke 12 what Jesus says, how we're supposed to respond to a world that's filled with things. So if you open up your Bibles, we're going to dive into Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. So let's read with me. It says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." So, do you guys know what it means to covet? Have y'all ever heard that word before?
Yeah, like cultivate.
So, covet, it actually means to desire something that belongs to someone else. So, we think about that. Do you guys have any coveting thoughts or thoughts of, you know, I want to own something that's not mine? Man, I know for me, I do. This is something that I wrestle with. So I'm so excited we get to dive into this passage, because when I walk out of my house, you know, I look to my left and I look to my right and I see my neighbor's house and I say, man, I wish I had that guy's house. It's a lot nicer than mine. Or, you know, I even look at their car and I go, I wish I had their car. It's a lot better than mine. Or, you know, I look to, you know, some of my friends who are in these really amazing and cool jobs, and I think their job is so much better than mine. If only I could be doing what they do, then my life would be complete. So what about you guys? Do y'all, you know, what does that look like as a middle school guy or gal? I know, you know, for you guys, it may be, maybe you want a new phone, the newest iPhone. Maybe you want the newest Xbox or PlayStation. You know, maybe it's not an actual thing, but it's something like, hey, I want a boyfriend, or I want a girlfriend, or I just want to be popular, all right? So bear with me, guys. So if we think about those things, is it okay to have those thoughts? Is it okay to have those desires for those things? I think it's okay to have those desires, but Christ is very clear in this passage, guys, that if we put our satisfaction and we put our hope into those things and those desires, that we are going down a path of trouble. In fact, in Luke 12, you know what God tells people who covet? He calls them fools. So let's continue reading. We'll see what the Lord has to say about these thoughts and what do we do with a world that's filled with things. So let's read Luke 12, 16 through 21. It says, "And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grains and goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample supply. There, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And so will be the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So in that time, they had this culture where they would harvest these grains and these goods, and they would store up enough so they had food in the wintertime. And that's a good thing. But what was this man doing? This man was filling up these barns to where he had an excess of grain and goods, meaning he had way more than he ever needed. And that, I think, is what we're going to focus on today, is that Jesus is telling us that this man, what he was thinking is, you know, this food and these this grain, that's my stuff. You know, I want to have a life that's comfortable. I want to have a life that, you know, I can eat and drink and have all the best things in life. But God's telling us giving us a very clear challenge in this passage. He's challenging us to answer the question, guys, are we going to choose a life that is filled with abundance, with an excess of these things in life, or are we going to choose him? So what I want to do is, really this morning, we want to respond to this with really just two different ways. And I want to give you two points to think about, all right? So the first thing is to focus on eternal things. So have y'all ever seen the end of a track race before? I'm talking about the last home stretch, the last 200 meters of a race. Do you think that at the end of the race, these runners are, you know, oh, I'm going to stop and I'm going to look at my phone. I'm going to, I need to stop and get a, you know, glass of water. I'm not feeling my best. Or maybe I'll wave to my friends, or maybe I'll check my phone and see if I'm up to date on my Snapchat streak. No, these runners, they are all in, pressed towards the finish line. When you see a runner at the end of the race, they're pumping their arms, they're moving their body. Their eyes are fixed on the prize. A lot of times at the end of a race, you'll see a runner dive at the end of the finish line because they're trying to squeeze every second out so they can have the best possible time. And so what is Christ telling us to do in this chapter? Christ is telling us to finish the race in the same way that a track runner finishes the race. He's telling us to finish well and finish the race strong. Verse 20 says, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you." And so the Lord is challenging us to finish the race strong by preparing our hearts now. He's telling us that a life with Christ is ultimately the most satisfying thing in the world. And that, you know, as we live in a world with things and stuff, that ultimately, guys, none of that stuff is going to last. And that the only thing that's going to last is a relationship with Christ. 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12, it's talking about and money and how money is the root of all evil. And Timothy says, at the end of this chapter, he says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things," meaning flee the riches of life, "and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith, love, steadfastness and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you are called, and make good the confession in front of many witnesses." And so, guys, I want to, you know, thinking about that track runner and finishing well, I want us not to think about the things we can acquire, because, you know, the culture and media, they're telling us in order to have a great life, we got to fill our lives with stuff. We got to have a girlfriend or boyfriend to make us popular, or we got to have the latest phone or an Xbox or a PlayStation or whatever it is that you covet. But you know what Christ is telling us? He's telling us that we don't need to build bigger barns, but he's telling us we need to build a deeper and stronger relationship with him. So I want us to look at another passage in Hebrews as we think about finishing the race well and not storing up our lives with things. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us aside, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." And so, guys, we need to focus on eternal things. That's what Christ is calling us to do. And the second thing, and I'll end with this, is that Christ is calling us to find joy in eternal things. So I want to share with you guys part of my story. Part of my story as a middle school and high school guy is that I had two main focuses on life, all right? My two main focuses, number one, was to get a girlfriend. Number two, I wanted to run as fast as I could and have as much success on the track as I could. And so I spent every waking moment in middle school and high school after those goals. That was all I thought about, guys. And so ultimately, how did that work out for me? Well, you know, from the world's eyes, it worked out pretty well. I got a girlfriend. I was able to have success on the track. I had success in sports. But let me let you in on a secret, guys. That joy and satisfaction after I spent all those hours pursuing those things, it didn't last. I remember just being in college. I even made it to college sports, and I looked at myself, and I thought, man, is this all life has to offer? Is this it? I was depressed. I wasn't satisfied, even though I was chasing these goals that the world told me I should chase. And ultimately, guys, it wasn't satisfying because those things that seemed like good desires, they didn't last. And the Lord was so kind to remind me that a relationship with Him is the only thing that will last. And so as I recommitted my life to the Lord, I was reminded that a joy in Christ and a relationship with Christ, it's everlasting, guys. It's the only thing that it will last compared to a world that tells you you need to get things. Guys, those things won't last. And so one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 40, chapter 31. Some of you guys may have heard it, but it says, but they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not faint. And guys, here's what I want to challenge you with. Man, drink from the well that is the Lord and taste His goodness. And we aren't focused on a life that's, you know, building our barns like Luke 12 talks about with stuff like that man who is trying to make his life here comfortable on earth. But I want to challenge you guys is to prepare yourself for eternity now and build yourself on a fuller and more deeper relationship with Christ. Because ultimately, guys, that's the only thing that's going to last. And so if you're anything like me as a middle schooler, you're searching. You're searching for anything that you'll find satisfaction in. I don't know what that looks like for you. I, you know, gave a few examples of maybe you're trying to find satisfaction in a phone or in something else. But guys, you know, like I did, I was searching and I searched for it in the wrong places and it came up empty. And so I want to challenge you guys. Think about what does it look like today for me to have full satisfaction in Christ? Man, and I pray that you do. I pray that you do put yourself in a relationship with Christ because ultimately, guys, that's the only thing that's going to satisfy us. And so as we close, guys, we don't want to build our lives with more stuff. We don't want to build our lives like the man built his barn to be bigger and bigger and bigger. But we want to build our lives with Christ because that is the only thing that's going to last. So let me pray with you guys. Lord, man, I pray that folks in this room, Lord, are just convicted by your word. I pray that we wouldn't live a life that's filled with stuff, but I pray that we would fill our lives and our hope and our satisfaction in you. And I pray that that satisfaction would just be like a waterfall, Lord. I pray that it would just overflow, Lord, and you would remind us of your goodness and that we could taste and see that it's good. So God, would you be here today as we think about what it looks like to fill our lives with you rather than things. Lord, we love you and we're grateful for you. Amen.